Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alvaton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Well, as you grab your seat, grab your copy of God's word and go with me to Philippians chapter 2. And if you will permit me a little license with a poem that you all know well. 'Twas the day before Christmas, and all through the church, God's people were gathered to worship Jesus first. They were all filled with hope, peace, joy, and with love, because the Lord Jesus Christ had come down from above. He took on human flesh. He was God incarnate, you see, to live a life of complete holiness for you and for me. To Mary, the virgin in Bethlehem, he was born, and he was laid in a manger that first Christmas morn. The angels declared the good news to shepherds that night, and magi came to see Jesus by following a star so bright. They all came to worship Jesus, the newborn king, who was given by God to remove death's sting. Although just a baby in the beginning, he certainly did grow and performed signs and wonders so all the world would know that God was with us. Emmanuel indeed, the Savior of the world, Abraham's and David's seed. He came not just to live, but also to die on the cross, dying the death we deserve so the world would not be at a loss. He was laid in a borrowed tomb because he wouldn't need it long, for in 3 days he would arise and right all the wrong. Come rejoice this Christmas in Jesus, where true life is found. He'll take away your sins and the thorns from the ground. Let's come celebrate Jesus with all of our might. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Church, man, we have so much to celebrate this Christmas and every Christmas, don't we? Amen, man. I mean, just this week, I got a message from a friend just the other day who's going through a tough time financially, and in the midst of the conversation, he said that because of his tough situation, because of his financial situation, he said basically that his family would not be celebrating Christmas this year. I was like, what? That is tore up, man. I said, listen, I tried to help him to remember that celebrating Christmas has nothing to do with the size of your bank account. Amen? Amen, guys. Amen. I mean, seriously, Jesus has already paid for the party. Come celebrate. Come enjoy Jesus. If there wasn't even a present under your tree, could you still celebrate Christmas? You absolutely could. You know what? It might even be your best Christmas ever. Let's be honest, guys. Every now and then, perhaps sometimes, presents distract us from the true celebration of Jesus, don't they? We have to be really careful that we don't come away from Christmas more excited about our new gadget or our new toy or trinket than we are about Jesus, who took on flesh to save us from our sins. Children, listen to me this morning. All children right here. Jesus is always greater. Moms and dads, look at me. Jesus is always better. Friends, brothers, sisters, Jesus is always worthy of our utmost celebration. So I say, give all the presents you want, man. I mean, fill it up. Have a great time celebrating. Just don't leave Christ out of Christmas. Leave the uppermost part of your heart, right? The apex, the most, the majority of your joy. Leave it for Christ. In fact, here's today's takeaway that I hope you leave Eastwood with this morning as you head out to all the family festivities. Here it is. Today's takeaway, make Jesus number one in your devotion and praise this Christmas. Make Jesus number one in your devotion and praise this Christmas. And our text today, Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 5 through 11, is our text that helps us to see this. And so I want to invite you to stand this morning to honor the reading of the Word of God. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 says this. It says this. It says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's bow together. Lord, as we open this text and as we begin to expound it this morning and think on it, God, this Christmas, help us to apply it, Father, with all the things we're going to experience. We've maybe already experienced yesterday with family. We'll get to experience some more today with family and then tomorrow, all throughout the Christmas season. God, help us to make Christ number one in our devotion and in our praise this Christmas. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grab your seat. Now, at first glance, you may be thinking, Philippians 2? Seriously, preacher? That doesn't sound very Christmassy. But I declare to you that it has everything to do with Christmas. And it will help you and me make Jesus number one in our devotion and praise today and throughout the Christmas season. Now, our text here this morning gives us two reasons that Jesus should be number one. First, the first reason is this, is that your salvation was more important to Jesus than his rights. Your salvation was more important to Jesus than his rights. Now, we read the classic Christmas text, right? Luke 2, 1 through 7. Luke 2, 1 through 7 says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. This is good news, right? This is good news, right? The promised Messiah, the Christ, was born in Bethlehem. This is the one who in Matthew 1, through an angel speaking to Joseph, Jesus' adopted dad, who told the Lord he was promised that he would save his people from their sins. This is the one, again, through an angel in Luke 1, speaking to Mary, Jesus' mother, who was promised to be great and would be called the Son of the Most High. He was said that he was promised to sit on the throne of David and to reign forever over the house of Jacob. And here he is. It wasn't just 9 months before then, though, right? I mean, that those angels came and talked to Mary and Joseph about 9 months or so before this happened, before he was born. But it had been thousands of years, as we've seen throughout the preaching over this Christmas season. But he's finally here. And this is the Jesus who went on to live in complete holiness, the holiness that you and I can't live, and he died the death that you and I deserve on the cross. This is the same Jesus who God raised back to life, that he resurrected from the dead, and who lives even today to save men, women, boys, and girls from their sins. This is good news, but I say to you, none of this would have happened if Philippians 2 had not happened. Look at it with me. Look at verse 5 through 7. Philippians 2, 5 through 7. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, these are the words of God. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Now, right here, church, we get a glimpse of the mind of Christ before he took on flesh and was born in Bethlehem. Now, here's one of those moments. God has, we share many attributes with God, all right? But here is one that we do not share with God, and that is eternality, right? That God is eternal. See, all other babies come into existence at conception, right? When the seed of the man and the egg of the woman come together. But before that moment, that baby, that person has never existed. But with Jesus, he existed before his flesh was conceived in Mary's womb. In fact, Jesus is God the Son eternal. There was never a time that he was not God. There was never a time when he did not exist. And before he took on flesh, Philippians 2:6 says that Jesus was in the form of God, which is a way of saying that he is God, that he was very God. And being God, he had every right that God has. Every right to be worshiped. Every right to be served. But Jesus didn't consider his rights as something to be grasped, something to be clung to, right? Something to hold on to. No, there's something more important to him. Something more important to Jesus than his rights. And the answer is, what is that? Your salvation. My salvation. Your salvation was more important to Jesus than his rights. He could have stayed in heaven. And rightly so, right? It was his. It was his home. But if he would have stayed in heaven, all of humanity, every one of us here today and around the world, those who have lived, those who have died, those who will live someday and die, all would have been lost to sin and would have faced the justice and the wrath of God. And so Jesus had a choice, his rights or our salvation. Beloved, we're celebrating Christmas today because Jesus decided that our salvation was more important than his rights. And so we read in Philippians 2:7-8, just two verses more. But he, that's Jesus, emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see, Jesus voluntarily jumped into the fray. Jesus voluntarily jumped into the battle between good and evil. Now, listen, we sing Christmas songs that are nice and cuddly. They're serene, like Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. Or away in a manger, no crib for a bed. And eventually we get down, but little Lord Jesus, what? No crying. He makes all nice, all sanitized, all serene. But guys, this Christmas, let's just picture for just a moment. What was Jesus actually entering into? He was entering into enemy territory. He was taking back ground that was lost, right? He was entering into a battle zone, and it cost him his life, and he voluntarily jumped in to do it. He gave up his rights that he might save you and me. Much like the Marine Sergeant Dakota Meyer did in 2009 in Afghanistan. At that time, he was Corporal Meyer. He had heard over the radio that part of his squad had been ambushed by the Taliban, and it was as if the hills were exploding. Taliban fighters, they were unleashing this firestorm from the hills, from the stone houses, even from the local school right there. The men were being wounded. They were being killed. The patrol was pinned down, just taking ferocious fire from three sides. Dakota and Staff Sergeant Juan Rodriguez Chavez asked permission to go in and to save their brothers. And four times they were denied. They were told, listen, it's just too dangerous. You will die if you go in there. Four times they were denied. But Dakota said of his trapped teammates, he said, those were my brothers. And I couldn't just sit back and watch. And so what'd they do? They defied orders. They jumped in a Humvee. Juan took the driver's seat. Dakota took the gun turret. And they ran into the killing zone. They drove into the killing zone. Dakota's upper body exposed to the blizzard of fire from AK-47s and machine guns and from mortars and rocket-propelled grenades. And when they came to wounded soldiers, they would pick up those soldiers and they would bring them back out to safety and then go back in. Five times they went in and came back out, went in and came back out. And when it was done, 36 men's lives were saved. And those that died, they brought them back too. And the families, when they met that man, said, "Thank you for bringing my deceased loved one home that we could give them the dignity of a proper burial." Sergeant Dakota Meyer was the first living U.S. Marine to receive the Medal of Honor during the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, man. What an act of heroism. But as I read about that story of going into a battle zone, voluntarily going into a war zone, I think of my Lord Jesus Christ, who left the glories and the serenity of heaven to enter into the mess that we have here on this earth. He took on flesh. He saw squalor, he saw pain, he saw sin, he saw rebellion against God, and he stood for what was right, what he knew was right. And it cost him his life. But why did he do it? Because your salvation was more important to Jesus than his rights. And so I say to you this morning in return, man, make Jesus number one in your devotion and praise this Christmas. He deserves it. That's the first reason. Here's the second reason. The second reason is this. When you lower yourself and raise up Jesus, he raises you up with him. When you lower yourself and raise up Jesus, he raises you up with him. Don't miss verse 5 in the text here. Philippians 2:5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And he's going to tell us how Christ Jesus had that mindset. Right? It's a mind of humility, a mind that considers others as more important than yourself. And this morning, if you were to consider who is more important than myself, there is nobody on the planet more important than Jesus Christ. No one more important than Jesus Christ. He is the most important person to ever live and breathe. Mary knew it. Joseph knew it. The angels knew it. The magi knew it. The shepherds knew it. John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus, who jumped in his mama's womb when Mary came in with Joseph in her womb. He knew it. There was one point when John the Baptist was challenged by his own disciples who basically said, "John, don't you care that this Jesus is stealing all the glory and attention from you?" And John said this in response. John 3:30, he said, "He," speaking of Jesus, "Jesus must increase, but I must decrease." Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. Now, he didn't say that with drudgery. He didn't say that with disappointment, right? He said that with utmost joy, complete joy. And you and I today in this Christmas season, we get the opportunity to do what John did. You and I get the opportunity to say, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. We get the opportunity to lower ourselves and raise up Jesus. And this isn't just some kind of token kindness or grace. Right? I mean, we've all done this before where maybe our children come in and they've drawn something or they've made something or something like that. And you basically, because they tried really hard, you give them praise. It may not be the best thing ever, but they tried really hard and you want to award their effort. That's not Jesus here. He completely and totally is worthy of us raising him up high. You see, when Jesus humbled himself to leave the glories of heaven and to take on flesh, to be obedient to God even until the point of death on a cross, God then exalted him. Look at our text, Philippians 2:9-11. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that's Jesus, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So this Christmas, you have an opportunity to focus your joy and your celebration on the highest name, on the highest person. It's the name that is above every name. Nothing on earth is greater. Nothing above earth is greater. Nothing below earth is greater. In fact, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And honestly, at the end of every knee will bow, whether you're in defeat or in victory. But every knee should bow, because there's no greater name. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, because there's no other Lord, right? He's the King of kings and the what? Lord of lords. This Christmas, you have the opportunity to lower yourself and to raise up Jesus. But let's get real for a moment. For some of you, that scares you to death. You don't want to give up control. You don't want to surrender. And for those of you, maybe that it doesn't scare. Maybe for others of you, it's just distasteful. You ain't going to bow to anybody. You're your own man, your own woman, your own person. You are your sovereign, and you'll not bend the knee to anybody else. But don't miss this. This is so important for you to understand this morning. When you lower yourself and raise up Jesus, look at what happens. The Bible tells us that when that happens, that Jesus raises you up with him. You got to understand that. When you lower yourself and raise up Jesus, you get raised up with him. Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 7. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he's loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And here it is. And raises us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. When you lower yourself, when you humble yourself, you become connected to Jesus. And in his exaltation, you are exalted also. Therefore, 1 Peter 5, 6 tells us to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you. Jesus, guys, is asking you for a trade. You must decrease that he may increase. But as he increases, your connection with him raises you up with him. This is not a trade for lesser. When you surrender your life to Jesus, you are not surrendering to a lesser existence, a lesser experience on the backside of that surrender. Jesus is like the treasure hidden in the field, which a man found, the Bible says, and covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. In other words, you trade a little to get a lot. So I say to you this morning, do the little of lowering yourself and raising up Jesus this Christmas in your family gatherings, in your homes, but most importantly, in your heart. And you will be raised with him, because you're connected to him if you're in Christ Jesus. So I call you this morning, make Jesus number one in your devotion and praise this Christmas. He is completely worthy of it. Here's my final prayer as the praise team comes. May our joy be made complete in Jesus this Christmas. May you find your merriest Christmas in maximizing Jesus in your heart. Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.